Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we're going to do lots of different things, visit the Hotel McAlpin, do some knocking, celebrate the birthday of Ben Burney, and have some songs about kitties. The Hotel McAlpin was located at Broadway and 34th in New York City, and at the time it opened in 1913 with 1,500 rooms, it was considered the largest hotel in the world. It was designed by architect Frank Mills Andrews, who also designed the Montana and Kentucky State Capitol buildings, as well as the George Washington Hotel, and several other hotels and industrial buildings. Bandleader Ernie Golden is most closely identified with the Hotel McAlpin, but he's not the only one who played there, as you'll hear in this McAlpin set.
Thank you. laughed and talked about you, laughed and talked about us, all but fun to discuss. The crazy things we love to do, laughed and talked about me. Let me assure you I'm grand, I'd be sweet to hand. Oh gee, the possibility, why is it at each visit I sit by myself? What does it and what was it made me care for you? You tell the world about me, I'll tell the world about you. We'll tell the world about us, they won't believe it's true.
Thank you.
Ernie Golden and his Hotel McAlpin Orchestra recording for Edison on Christmas Eve 1925 in Fond of You. Ernie Golden performed double duty on that one, leading the band and providing the vocal. Ernie Golden's wasn't the only orchestra to be resident at the McAlpin. Bandleader Johnny Messner is pictured on the sheet music for I Can't Get You Out of My Mind with the caption Johnny Messner and his Hotel McAlpin Orchestra, although he made no records under that name. However, violinist and bandleader Harold Vio made about a dozen sides for Pathé Actuel as Vio's Hotel McAlpin Orchestra, and we heard one of them, Let's Sit and Talk About You, with vocalist Harold Van Imburg from around January 4, 1929. Let's Sit and Talk About You was written by Dorothy Fields and Jimmy McHugh. The California Ramblers were mostly a studio band, but they were booked for residencies at the Post Lodge and the Pelham Inn, which was later renamed the Ramblers Inn because of their popularity. I don't know if they ever played at the Hotel McAlpin, but they recorded several sides as the McAlpin Orchestra and the McAlpineers. We heard On the Crest of a Wave by the McAlpineers from an Edison disc waxed July 25, 1928. We began that McAlpin set with Ernie Golden and his Hotel McAlpin Orchestra once again and Somebody and Me. The vocal trio on that June 10, 1927 Brunswick recording was the Keller Sisters and Lynch. The Keller Sisters were actually Annie Catherine Lynch and Catherine Ann Lynch, and the Lynch in Keller Sisters and Lynch was their brother, Frank. I included that recording of Somebody and Me in that set because it was written by Raymond Clogas and Ernie Golden. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. In this next set, I'm going to play some rapidly rotating records about people who are going to do all sorts of other things, beginning with the Six Black Diamonds, who are going to get acquainted. Thank you. Ted Weems and his orchestra with Dusty Rhodes, drummer in the band, providing the vocal on I'm Gonna Park Myself in Your Arms from July 19, 1925. I'm Going to Park Myself in Your Arms was written by Alex Marr, Archie Fletcher, and Bob Heath, the same trio who brought us Roll'em Girls and, if you're old-fashioned, your long underwear. Before that, it was the Varsity Eight, a contingent of the California Ramblers, and I'm Gonna Hang Around My Sugar from October 20, 1925. I'm Gonna Hang Around My Sugar was written by Jack Palmer and Spencer Williams and was preceded by Zez Confrey and his orchestra, August 30th, 1922, and I'm Going to Plant Myself in My Old Plantation Home, written by Al Wilson and James Brennan. We began that initiative set with the New Orleans Jazz Band, credited on the label of that Regal 78 as the Six Black Diamonds, and I'm Gonna Get Acquainted in a Quaint Old-Fashioned Town. That recording is from around September 10th, 1924. I'm Gonna Get Acquainted in a Quaint Old-Fashioned Town was written by Charlie Tobias, Harry Tobias, and George Bennett. Rapidly Rotating Records is now on Facebook. If you're already on Facebook, simply enter Rapidly Rotating Records in the Facebook search box in the upper right-hand portion of the screen, and the link to our fan page will appear in a drop-down box. If you're not already a member of Facebook, you can find a link to the public fan page at our website, www.rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. I hope you'll check it out and become a Facebook fan of the show. This very day, May 30th, marks the birth exactly 119 years ago of one of my favorite band leaders, Benjamin Anzelwitz. You may know him better as the old maestro, Ben Burney. Rather than me give you any more biographical details, Ben's going to tell you a little bit about himself.
Oh, Mr. Burney.
Uh-huh.
We're ready for you now.
Oh, thanks. Greetings, everybody. This is Ben Burney standing before you in a pair of tight shoes with a violin in one hand and a club in the other. After all, a man must have some protection. I've been asked to play a violin solo at you, but I want to warn you that the Brunswick Company is not responsible for my playing or any other act beyond their control. You know, every musician must have a background, and I feel that you should know mine. I studied the violin since I was a lad of 7, but as my parents were too poor to buy me a fiddle, I used to practice on a bass drum. You won't believe this until you hear me play. As time went on and my mother got steady work, Dad decided that I should have a chance. So I studied for 2 years with Chrysler and then had a year under Buick. It was while tightening the wheels of that car that I got my first break. Ouch. That noise you are hearing, folks, is not me. That's two talking pictures having an argument. Well, to go on with the old solo, let me have an A, will you, Al? Thanks, that's near enough. I would like to have you meet my accompanist. He's a Russian pianist. His name is always off-key, but we call him Al for short. You might like Al. Some people like olives. Good old olives. You know, Al comes from a musical family, too. His father, for 20 years, was the cornet soloist with an orchestra, but he was finally pardoned at the request of the other prisoners. For my first solo, folks, I have chosen the good old Humoresca, the Humoresque, the Humoresca. Well, anyhow, this is as fine a number as has ever been mispronounced on a record. Incidentally, this is a $4 number, which I shall play for the regular price of 75 cents. If you like the number, send me the difference. And Al, I have only one request to make before we play. Let's both finish together. At least, let's finish on the same side of the record. Now the chorus, Al. Thanks, Al. For the benefit of those who just entered the room, this is Ben Burney, the old maestro, speaking. Where was I in part one? Oh, yes. I was telling you all about Al, my accompanist. You know, Al has really had a great musical education. His lessons cost him $4 apiece, including stamps. But Al is now in the advanced class. He gets his lessons by airmail. He's a college man, too, a 1928 man, but he left in 1924, by request. He plays football, too. A lot of you folks probably remember the Yale football team of 1924, the year they beat Harvard. Al went to Columbia that year. And Al plays every instrument, including a stethoscope, which he plays by ear. In fact, Al is the only man I know who really can play the sextet from Lucia with his left hand and shave himself with the right. The slight quiver in his playing is not tempo. It comes from years of playing on good old ferry boats. I must also mention the fact that Al worked for John Philip Sousa for 3 years, until Mr. Sousa decided to drive his own car. In addition to his other talent, Al repairs motorcycles and is a darn good notary public. I met Al's uncle the other day. He's a lovely fellow, a Scotchman, but he was born in this country to save transportation. Al really doesn't have to work. He owns a little lunchroom called the Radio Lunch. You order everything on the bill of fare by song title. For instance, Muddy Waters, that's a cup of coffee. Pal of My Cradle Days, that's a bottle of milk. Hot Lips, that's a bowl of chili. Where, oh, where is my little dog tonight? That's a good old Frankfurter sandwich. You know you belong to somebody else? That's a plate of hash. And I'll be with you always. That's an order of Limburger cheese. For my fiddle solo, I'm going to play a number written by my girlfriend, and in fact, dedicated to me. She's a lovely girl. The title of this number is I'd Love to Be the Widow of a Guy Like You. This is really a beautiful melody founded on a theme by Tchaikovsky, the great Russian baseball player. I hope you liked it.
We started off our tribute to Ben Burney with the old maestro himself playing violin and parts 1 and 2 of his monologue entitled My Pal Al, recorded by Brunswick in December of 1929. After that, from April of 1930, we heard Ben Burney and All the Lads with Pat Kennedy doing the vocal on Livin' in the Sunlight, Lovin' in the Moonlight. I imagine Al Lewis and Al Sherman, who wrote the words and music respectively, would have liked that rendition of their song, which was written for the 1930 Maurice Chevalier picture, The Big Pond. Al Lewis died on April 4th, 1967, so I don't think he heard it, but I wonder what Al Sherman thought of Tiny Tim's 1967 recording. Probably didn't much care as long as he got a check. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL FM 88.7 Avalon, in New Zealand on the Wellsford Country Radio Network 105.8 FM, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com and shamrockradio.com. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Jules Herbivo.
Love knocks at your heart, open up your heart and let love in. I turned down love until now I miss the thrill that might have been. The hours I spend alone in my blue room, when love could turn it into a dream come true room. If you should close the door to love forevermore, don't ever boast. Love comes but once and then passes by you when you need it most. I have been so lonely, I learned just one thing only. When love knocks at your heart, open up your heart and let love in.
Scrappy Lambert with Sam Lennon and his orchestra, and one of the longer titles out there, Run Up the Stairs, Knock at the Door, Shout Hallelujah, Cause I'm Home. That was recorded around November 7th, 1928, and was preceded by Jan Garber and his orchestra, very much in his sweet band mode, with Lee Bennett providing the vocal on When Love Knocks at Your Heart from February 25th, 1935. We begin that knocking set with a record you hear a portion of every once in a while as a promo for the show, Who's That Knocking at My Door? That was Frank Silvano with Jules Herbivore and his orchestra in Chicago on September 26, 1927. Irving Cale and Francis Wheeler wrote the lyrics to Ted Snyder's tune.
Who's that our part to keep alive the music of the 1920s and 30s. This is Rapidly Rotating Records, Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon, and available anytime on demand online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com.
Here for no particular reason is a set of rapidly rotating records about pussycats, beginning with the Halfway House Orchestra.
Marriage means divorces. cat mean when he says meow?
Trio of rapidly rotating records about pussycats. We started off with the Halfway House Orchestra and Pussycat Rag, recorded in New Orleans on January 22, 1925. Pussycat Rag was written by three members of the band, Albert Brunies, who played cornet, reed man Charlie Cordella, and pianist Mickey Marcour. Next, it was Billy Jones with the Columbia Novelty Orchestra and the age-old question, what does the pussycat mean when she says meow? That was recorded in 1924, and the same year Billy Jones also recorded What Does the Pussycat Mean When She Says Meow with Ernie Hare for Edison. It was also recorded by Billy Murray and was written by Harry Pease, Ed G. Nelson, and Nils Theodor Granlund, more commonly referred to as N.T. Granlund, or by just his initials, N.T.G. We finished up with Leslie Cerrone, backed by the orchestra led by Carol Gibbons, and Don't Do That to the Poor Pussycat, written by Leslie Cerrone and Frank Eaton. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll tune in or click in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.
I hope you liked it.